The Monty Show, Thursday, September 20th, 2018. Shake and bake. Shake and bake,
it's
baby.
It's time.
It is. Baker Mayfield is in the game for the Browns on Thursday Night Football. Had a pretty good first drive, so we'll talk a lot of Baker Mayfield tonight. And I really want to get into this conversation about starting a rookie quarterback. When is too early? You know, what situations have been good, which have been bad. So we'll talk about that. We got to talk about Ben Roethlisberger and Stormy Daniels. Mushroom head. Sorry, that was probably too much. If that traumatized you, I apologize.
Okay.
Okay. Tom Thibodeau is an idiot. Jimmy Butler has his team all picked out, the player he wants to play with. Do you like Conor McGregor? He was back in the news today. And, of course, we got to talk about the absolute best teams in Major League Baseball, because Jake is skeptical about the Boston Red Sox. Before all that, make sure right now. Wait. Do it right now. Find me on Twitter. The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Find me on Twitter. Find me on iTunes, Google Play. Anywhere you get your podcast, The Monty Show is absolutely there, and it's absolutely free. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, and themontyshow.com. Jake, let's get into, I would call this breaking news, Tyrod Taylor.
It's Tyrod, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Danny Trevathan's friend, Tyrod Taylor. Sorry, I'm being a jerk. Is done for the night. It would appear he took a physical beating for a quarter and a half at the hands of the New York Jets. And thus, Baker Mayfield is into the game for the Browns. They come out in 2 minutes. He gets about a minute and 30 seconds left in the second quarter. He comes in. They come out in 2 minutes, and I think it worked absolutely perfectly for Baker at that point, because not only, Jake, did the two-minute drill slow down the pass rush of the New York Jets, but I think it also added energy to the game. Anytime you're in 2 minutes, you're going faster, you're getting the ball out, that absolutely is going to drive up the energy. And Baker Mayfield, I felt like, I don't know what your opinion was, but I felt like he fed off the energy of the two-minute drive.
Yeah, he did an excellent job, and I think another reason why going quick in the two-minute drive and injecting him into that is that he doesn't have to think. It's just go, go, go. There is no time to overthink the play or try to audible out or any of that crap. You're just going 100 miles an hour, and that's where Baker likes it, and that's really where he thrives. And I think in tonight's game, we've seen the Jets' defensive line just get after it.
Dominating.
And that's why Tyrod Taylor is out of the game right now. And I think if you're the Browns, this is a tale of two halves. You watch out. They are in this game. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor was 4 of 14, 19 total yards, 4 of 14, 19 yards. Baker was 3 of 4, 47 yards, and he led a drive that wound up with a field goal, which you really like that. They are actually running the ball pretty effectively. But what stands out to me in this game now is we have two rookie quarterbacks that are now starting year one for their team. And maybe it's a little premature to say that Baker Mayfield is starting, but I think if he finishes this game with any kind of authority or command, and if they come back because they're trailing 14-3, but if he wins this game and he starts week four, let's say, I don't know how you don't start him. I don't know how you overlook what he's done tonight. So
yeah,
I think he's actually in a good spot. He's got weapons, which we always talk about, and you know, with Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson, Nick Chubb to a much lesser extent. He's got running backs, and obviously he's got Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, who I think is one of the better young tight ends that nobody talks about yet. Obviously, Antonio Callaway is an unpolished gem. He's going to have to learn that there's a lot more than running straight lines down the field. But he's got weapons that he can use, Baker, and his natural athletic ability and enthusiasms will really help him, I think. So I actually think Baker Mayfield with the Browns is in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. And by the way, it should be said, the team believes in Baker. We saw it, and we're seeing it now. I mean, you're exactly right. The word is energized. The team believes in the guy, and Jarvis has already got receptions. I mean, and I think the biggest difference is that Baker can deliver the football. That's my biggest problem with Taylor. There's a lot of balls he throws that just kind of float or just aren't delivered with authority or just are not great. And I think Baker really excels at that. So it should be good. I'm looking forward to the second half.
Well, Sam Darnold, I don't think, is in a good spot because Their offense tonight has been Isaiah Crowell. Your Isaiah Crowell, who's on your fantasy team. He's got 12 carries, 31 yards, but two scores, which you like. But I don't think they have much offense on the outside. I think Terrell Pryor has been a significant disappointment for the Jets. I think they really struggle. Defensively, they're fine. But so I look at the other rookies around the league, and I just – I don't see a whole lot of rookie quarterbacks that are starting, A, but B, I don't see a whole lot of rookies in a good spot. We've already talked a lot about Josh Allen in Buffalo, which is not a good spot at all. They're 0-2, and there's no hope for them going to Minnesota this week. Good luck. He's in a terrible spot. And other than that, there's not a whole lot of rookies starting. I mean, I don't know, is Patrick Mahomes a rookie?
I mean, technically, that's where I was going. Technically, he's not, but at the same time, this is his first year starting. So, I mean, I guess on the field he is, but that's why you sit him a year. And that's why you'd like to have sat, you know, Baker a year or Darnold a year, but clearly not for Darnold. Like, I don't know. I just think, like, there are few that come into the league first year and just dominate with no help, no nothing.
And the ones that are truly good do that. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck comes to mind, Matt Ryan comes to mind. I mean, there's a bunch of guys. Ben Roethlisberger won a Super Bowl early in his career and now has two. But look at Mitch Trubisky in Chicago. You know, the obviously struggling, that's a learning experience. Look what's going on in Arizona. You have a guy in Sam Bradford versus a guy in Josh Rosen on a really bad football team. In our power rankings on the show yesterday, we said that the Arizona Cardinals were the second worst team in the NFL, only behind the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is because they don't have weapons on offense.
Yep.
And I guess all of that to say, if you're drafting a quarterback who's then able to come in and start, you're pretty bad. You're not a good football team. And what's different, in my opinion, about the Browns is they actually have weapons. They went out. I think the Jarvis Landry acquisition was massive. And I think their ability to go in and get a guy like Callaway in the draft, their ability with guys like Njoku, the offensive line tonight is in a meat grinder, but they're going to be okay.
Yeah, they're moving forward. They're trekking forward. And, yeah, and I think
Hyde
the defense,
was a nice pickup.
The defense, by my standard, is awesome. I think
top five defense.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is exactly where you want it to be, and that allows them to experiment a little bit offensively. It allows them to try some things. And I think if you're Baker Mayfield, you're coming out tonight. You thought you might see time. I think people assume that maybe this was the week he might get in the game. And now he's in the game. And so I think now it's time for Baker to step up and be, you know, who he's supposed to be. We're ready. He's ready, I think. Yeah. It's time.
I was listening to Mad Dog Unleashed on SiriusXM today. Yeah, and I thought Dog had a really good point about young quarterbacks in this league, that they don't often win. And if you look at the young guys that are playing, I think the perfect example of teams that struggle because of their quarterback is not Mitch Trubisky. It's the Dallas Cowboys. I look at Dak Prescott, and I think a lot of their limitations have been his learning curve because, and this is a true story, I swear to God, and I apologize ahead of time. Jake is texting me today saying, hey, I think I could get Ezekiel Elliott in a fantasy trade. And I said, well, he's not great. And then I went to Pro Football Focus and started pulling metrics and numbers and really taking a deep dive into Ezekiel Elliott. Well, he's actually pretty good. His numbers this year have been really good. Yards after contact, like burst. Ezekiel Elliott's metrics look really good. And it just confirms to me that Dak Prescott has to be better than he is. And I think when you are the Dallas Cowboys, and whether it's through injury or whatever excuse you want to make, when you're able to plug in a guy like, you know, a Dak Prescott to start and he struggles, you're not going to be good. Yet you have a team like the Minnesota Vikings who plug in the premier free agent in the National Football League who's a quarterback, because what is the NFL? Mm-hmm. Well, it's a quarterback-driven league. Period. End of story. This league's about quarterbacks. So you plug in a guy like Kirk Cousins, and now all of a sudden, instead of aspiring to win the NFC North, you're aspiring to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Yet you run into a buzzsaw on Sunday named Aaron Rodgers, who we all know he's Jesus Christ incarnate, and he walks on water even with one knee. Well, this is a quarterback-driven league. So the Packers go as Aaron Rodgers goes.
Yeah.
Because when he was out against the Bears, in Chicago.
Domination, monsters in the midway.
You know what I'm saying? You feeling me? Actually, it wasn't in Chicago. It was at Lambeau. But here and there.
Who's counting?
Yeah, who's counting that it was in a different place, which has nothing to do with counting or math, but whatever. The point is, he goes out, Kaiser comes in, suck fest. Aaron comes back, and all of a sudden, you know, rising tide lifts all boats, and Aaron Rodgers is a freaking MVP. You know what I'm saying? And that is a case in point. I could go up and down the teams. Tampa Bay, you have a really difficult decision to make.
No, because you don't. I don't think you do.
Fitzmagic has been incredible in Tampa, but see, you don't. You, sitting in Phoenix, Arizona, do not think it's difficult. The general manager in Tampa, Mr. Licht, is going to have a real difficult time making this decision. Dirk Cutter is going to have a real difficult time making this decision. Because when you have a franchise-level quarterback or a guy you thought was who you invested a draft pick and built a team around in famous Jameis, it's not so easy to just say, okay, well, he, you know, he did grab an Uber driver's crotch. Maybe he shouldn't be our starter anymore.
But it's not just about that. I don't think the performance on the field has backed it up. It's not like he's been over the top good.
No, he hasn't. And the problem for you know, famous Jameis the Crab Snatcher is that it was probably a little too much. But the Crab Snatcher's biggest problem is they were average with him and they're elite without him. Because
yeah,
they're a
they're
an explosive offense. But is that because Fitzmagic is all of a sudden just a guy that's able to throw the ball all over the place? Or is it some kind of new energy that not having famous on the field, you know, when you know that he's not going to be there, maybe, you know, DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans and, you know, those guys are just a little more energized because they know they have to, you know, maybe the offensive line knows they have to pass protect a little better. I don't know. All I know is that's not the Tampa Bay Bucs that anybody expected.
And that's what I'm saying. Again, and this was, we never meant to get into this, but to kind of finish it, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's that hard of a decision. He needs to earn his way back. You got to earn your way back. I think, well, Fitzpatrick has done everything he needs to do.
Fitzmagic.
Okay, Fitzmagic.
Thank
great.
You.
Do
Thank
it for
you.
5 weeks in a row. I think, you know, listen, he's earned it. Like, I don't know what else he needs to do. If you sit him now and put Jameis in, you're awful.
But see,
that's a
just,
bad
it,
choice.
It just, it doesn't work that way. And I think this is the thing that fans have trouble grasping. The business of the NFL. Look at the Raiders trade for Khalil Mack. If Khalil Mack gets hurt, the Bears look terrible. Right? If the Raiders suck and they draft and they waste those two first-round picks, like, there's the business of the NFL doesn't allow you to be humble. I agree with you that the right thing to do is to tell Jameis, well, until we need you, you're going to sit over here on the bench. You know, chart the plays. Do whatever guys like you do. You know? That's the right thing to do. But the career arc of the general manager and the head coach probably doesn't allow that. And if they're, let's say somehow they're 4-0 when he comes back, I don't think there's any chance he starts. If they lose this week and they're 2-1 and then 2-2, yeah, maybe. You know, they're 2-0, they caught lightning in a bottle, but all of a sudden they're 2-2, that Jameis is probably starting. So I think it's situational. Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, you knew in New England that you needed to trade him. That was a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they wanted to. Anyway, all of this to say, Baker Mayfield's in the game in Cleveland, and I think this is a really good move for him. Nate Peterman blows. You knew.
Yeah, awful.
You knew Allen was going to be in there sooner than later. Now, you look at the Jets. I don't know, and maybe the Jets is the perfect example because you're in a division in the East out there that is a one-team, you know, one team division, one trick pony, single saxophone band. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all about the New England Patriots. But I look at the New York Jets. They don't have to start Sam Darnold. They don't have to do that. They had Josh McCown, who is a good leader, who is a good mentor, who has been at times good. Now, is he elite? No, but the Jets, I don't think, are a team that believes they're going to win the Division A or B, go to the playoffs,
no.
Even. Right? They're not that team.
No.
So why are you risking a guy who I think was a terrible pick that at that point, but why are you risking Sam Darnold? Like, I just don't,
because
and I know
it's
everybody.
You're doing that. They're doing that simply because What else do you have on the Jets? What else makes them, like, entertaining or...
Josh McCown's a pretty good quarterback. He played 13 games last year, and I actually thought played pretty well. He had 2-1 touchdown interceptions, like, before he got hurt. Was completing 68% of his passes.
You know, he's not a name, and they didn't really do anything with him. He played well, yes. But the overall team performance, like, so when you're bad...
Fitzmagic's not a name. Ryan Fitzpatrick's not a name.
I think
Jameis Winston's the name. Well, right. But again, you can't have the argument both ways. You have to do at all times what's best for the club. In my opinion, and I think, again, whether that is Kansas City, Green Bay, you pick the place. The best thing for the club is to let the rookie sit behind a veteran quarterback like Josh McCown. But the Jets didn't want to do that. I think it is what it is. Whatever. It's fine. Speaking of quarterbacks, I want to talk about Ben Roethlisberger real quick. Stormy Daniels. What did we call Stormy Daniels on the show yesterday? The gift that keeps on giving. And really, this time it's her book. Because Stormy's got a new memoir, The Story of Stormy Daniels. What's her real name? Stephanie Clifford. Thank you. She wrote a book, largely about Mushroom Head Trump. Well, in that book, she tells a story about 2006 at the golf outing. And the day after Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump had sex, according to the book, she goes downstairs to a VIP area in a club at her hotel at the invite of Donald Trump. And who happens to be there? Big Ben himself. They stay there the whole night. She talks to him a little bit. Trump at the end of the night says, hey, Big Ben, will you walk Stormy up to her room? Oh, sure, no problem. They walk up to the room, right? They get to the door, and Ben Roethlisberger's like, can I give you a kiss goodnight? And she's like, no, actually, you can't. All right, nice to meet you. Take care. He's like, whoa, 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 come on. Come on, a little sugar for Big Ben. And she's like, no. And she claims in her book that she was terrified of Ben Roethlisberger because he's a huge human being. I've stood next to him several times. He makes me feel small. He's a large human being. And she says she was terrified. She got in a room, closed the door, and he stood out there for many, many minutes, knocking on the door. Come on, let me in. Just a kiss goodnight. Come on. Whining like a child, trying to get into Stormy Daniels' hotel room.
Stay classy.
3 years later, in Tahoe, he would be accused of rape. And then a year later, he would be accused of rape in Georgia. It's just a creepy story.
Yeah.
And it's one of those stories now where I feel like Ben Roethlisberger's another one of those guys who, in sports, has gotten a free pass. And a lot of these guys, I think, are in... the NFL. And guys I put in this category, like Ray Lewis, everybody lauds Ray Lewis as this humanitarian, great guy. And I don't take anything away from the great things that Ray Lewis has done. And some people say he's one of the best mentors of young players. Okay, I get all that. But Ray Lewis was involved in a murder trial where he, at one point, was actually charged with murder. When the trial started, he was sitting at a table with two other defendants who were also charged with murder, right? And people are like, oh, yeah, he's a murderer. Well, at the end of the day, it turns out nobody was murdered. They were all acquitted on self-defense. And actually, Ray Lewis pled guilty to obstruction of justice to get out of the murder charge. And wound up flipping on his two friends because everybody said, oh, he went to jail for his friends. No, he didn't. He actually flipped, testified against them, and he pled out to obstruction of justice. They got acquitted of murder. And I'm just like, hey, this is a guy that was charged with murder, testified against his two friends, who they're no longer friends, obviously. But nobody thinks about that anymore. It just goes away. Then there's Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And people are going to say, you're a Laker hater. I'm not being a Laker hater. Kobe Bryant, Eagle Colorado, whoever knew about Eagle Colorado until Kobe got into his rape allegation? and, you know, was lauded as a hero. Look at what he's doing, flying back and forth between Colorado and LA for the playoffs. And he's not, that's not heroic. You know, but nobody talks about that with Kobe anymore. Now he's this entrepreneur and he's this, you know, this Oscar winner. And I think guys get free passes. Ben Roethlisberger, I think, has gotten a free pass on his sexual assaults.
So what would not be a free pass then? If they're getting a free pass, what should it be?
You should not be endorsing products. Like, do I really need Ray Lewis's pregame dance on the cover of every video game? Do I need Kobe's Nikes? Granted, I'm probably as guilty as anybody, although I don't own any Kobe's. I'm a big Nike guy. But do I need Kobe's Nikes? And I mean, what else? He does a bunch of stuff. His movies, like, do I really need that? Do I need, like, it's that whole thing. And everybody also forgets that Ben Roethlisberger is the guy who rode around Pittsburgh on a motorcycle without a helmet and almost died for it. You know, like, it's all this stuff.
It's his choice. Like, I mean, I'm not saying he's a good person.
But it's not a choice when you're a starting quarterback of a football team in the NFL and they pay you millions and millions of dollars. You need to not ride motorcycles until your career's over, right? I mean, do we need to talk about Jay Williams?
No.
The former Bull in Chicago? Like, Kellen Winslow Jr., I'm a soldier who hurts his knee in a motorcycle accident, right? Like, so it's all these things, and I just feel like Ben Roethlisberger's one of those guys who gets a free pass. And then today, Tiger Woods, out of his mind, 5-under-65, tied for first.
Fire, as usual.
Yeah, with it's Ricky Thursday. Fowler, right? Like, no, this is very different. He usually starts the tournament in a hole or just plays okay, and then Friday, Saturday, he plays out of his mind. Sunday, he's just average. Now he's dominating this tournament, right? But what happened 2 days ago? He was let out of his probation for DUI to a full month early because he did all his community service and met all the, you know, that passed all the
he
drug
did what
tests
he was supposed
and
to
yeah,
do.
Did what he's supposed to do. But yet people will always rake him over the coals. He cheated on his wife and sex with porn stars and all of this stuff. Like, he's some criminal and Kobe's a saint and Ben's a saint and Ray Lewis is, you know, this inspirational figure.
I mean, I see your point, but I also think, you know, when you look at those other guys who are allegedly getting a free pass, those guys have won. Those guys have given us something else to think about. Tiger hasn't done a damn thing since he did all that stuff except suck and be on the comeback tour.
So if he wins,
if he wins, I think it goes away a little
bit. You're crazy. I think there will be a reversal of sorts on Tiger Woods.
I don't think
once
there's
he
reversing.
Wins,
I just think there's, like, lessening. You know what I mean?
Sure, but once he wins, I think some of the haters will come back to his side. But he'll always be the golf club guy that crashed his car and Ambien and, you know, like, his wife left him and he cheated on Lindsey Vaughn. And that'll always be Tiger
Woods.
But,
like, is that just what he is in the mainstream news? Or is that what people at the tournament cheering their ass off for him actually believe? Because that's part of this, too. How much of that, you know, that quote unquote, that free pass that guys get is just what we see on the headlines? Like, what do football fans actually believe, you know, about Ray Lewis? Or
I don't think anybody.
What do golf fans believe about Tiger?
I think Tiger Woods is known for all of his sexual ambiguity or, you know, like all of that.
Just the extracurriculars.
All of that. I don't think anybody thinks about Ben Roethlisberger as a sexual predator. I don't think anybody even thinks about Ray Lewis's situation at that Super Bowl party all those years ago. I don't think anybody thinks about that. I don't think anybody thinks. I really genuinely believe people have forgotten about Kobe and Eagle Colorado. I think they just don't think about it anymore. It's out of their mind.
So how long,
time heals all wounds.
And this is what I always end up asking. How long are we supposed to hold that over his head? How long is it? Not hold it over his head, I guess isn't the right way to say it. But how long are we supposed to... Like, is that supposed to be the first thing we think about with Kobe? Like, at some point, when does that just, hey, that... Because what was it, 20 years ago now? 15 years ago?
Long time, yeah.
You know, like, how long is that supposed to be at the forefront? Like, or at least taking away from, you know, what he's doing after his basketball life?
I don't know. I don't have the answer for
that. Because, like, I'm different on this. I guess the best way to say it is it just doesn't bother me anymore. Like, he did that. He went through it. Yeah, maybe he was lauded as a hero, but now...
It's not like he was found not guilty. They came to a settlement.
And by the way, it does speak volumes that you're right. He is getting, I guess, a free pass. I mean, he works with a lot of female basketball athletes in the WNBA. I mean, there's
a lot
of...
Yeah, but that's different. This is, like... Yeah, and when was that? I guess that would have been 2002, 2003.
And by the way, it should be said that millennials are now the biggest body in the population. So you're talking about...
10 years old when that happened?
Yeah, like you're talking about people who just weren't in it when it happened.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why I say time heals all wounds and finds all people innocent, I guess. I don't know. And I'm not sitting here saying that he should be persecuted or any of these guys should be, but I think... With these revelations in Stormy Daniels' book,
well, if you're getting written about in a porn star's book that's connected to Trump, and which clearly means that you're good friends with Trump since you are at the same party.
Oh, there's no question. That's never been in question.
But you're also
not a bad person
doing
though.
That.
But you're not also a bad person because you support Donald Trump. I think there's a lot of that.
To me, if you're associated with Donald Trump and you're hanging out with him, that doesn't look good on you.
Well, I think it means that you co-sign a lot of the way he does business and the things he talks and the way he lives his life. Certainly, if you're friends with a guy, sure, okay. But I just my whole thing on Ben is that's not a good human being. And I don't care that he's won two Super Bowls and he's got all this longevity and he's this great NFL quarterback, because he is. But he's just not a great human being. And sometimes, to wrap this up, I think people will tell you, oh, well, he's really good at baseball, so he's a great person. No, Barry Bonds is a jerk, frankly. A-Rod is a self-absorbed jerk.
Like, Barry's
jerk.
A great example. What positive news is coming out about Barry? What is he giving us to
All's
consume?
Forgotten. All's forgotten.
No, I don't think it is.
Oh, I think it is. He's working in baseball again. He was a hitting coach for Miami. If memory serves, he's a special assistant in the front office
in
San Francisco.
But in the public eye.
Nothing, because Barry Bonds is, if nothing else, Barry is intelligent. Barry's not putting himself out. Barry's not out front doing TV and that's not who he is.
Right, so he went away.
He disappeared. A-Rod's on TV. But even A-Rod, nobody's talking about Alex Rodriguez's steroid use. And... Really, the truth be told, Alex Rodriguez never recovered from that.
Yeah.
Right? He never recovered
from
that.
But, that's the key difference right there. When I look at A-Rod, I think about the cheating and how his career changed forever. And I didn't enjoy A-Rod when he was a dynamic shortstop for the Rangers. That wasn't my time with him. My time with Kobe was the Celtics-Lakers series, was those great moments in his career.
See, for me, Kobe is totally different. And this probably is part
of this
discussion.
This is the key difference.
I covered him at a very early part in his career. I covered him in the late 90s and up through mid-2000s.
Exactly.
You know, just being in the building, being in the locker room with him, being around him, because I spent a lot of time covering those Laker teams. Like, I mean, it just is, it's that whole deal where I just feel like at some point, I just don't know how to process it. And just to be blunt about it, I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know
deal
how
with
long
what?
Is too long.
Exactly.
Like, the frustration today that I saw over Ben Roethlisberger. Like, that frustrated me that Ben, like, this comes up. And it's like, yeah, that's right, Georgia, you know, he, you know, sexual assault in a bathroom at a bar,
mm-hmm.
You know, that this worker at this, and the Tahoe thing really bothers me because it wrecked that woman's life. She had just gotten promoted, you know, and some of the stories, and it probably isn't relevant now, but like one of the things that happened that I vividly remember in that story, talking about that story. I worked at Sporting News Radio nationally at that point. And like the security service for Harrah's, which is where she worked, like went and took her computers and her cell phones out of her house while she was in the hospital. Like she was battling depression after that happened. And she didn't, you know, she didn't want to report it for fear. She had just gotten promoted, right? And she didn't want to report it for fear of losing her job because they really valued celebrities at the time at her resort.
Yeah.
And it sent her really down a dark path. And her, allegedly, her employers took advantage of that. Like, because what happened is she never went to the cops, but what she did do is filed a civil suit that they tried to have dismissed and couldn't dismiss it. And ultimately, Harris and Ben Roethlisberger settled that suit with her. And the allegations in the suit are gnarly. Like, the story in Tahoe is that she had met Ben Roethlisberger earlier in his stay. And she was essentially like a high-level guest manager.
Yeah, like a guest relations person that makes sure their experience is good.
Exactly. He calls down and says, hey, the sound system on my TV's not working.
Why don't you come up?
Yeah, can you send somebody up to fix it? She went up to fix it because she knew how much the resort manager valued Ben Roethlisberger because they were very close. She goes up to fix it, and it's not broken. And she says, okay, well, everything seems to be in working order, and he is allegedly standing in front of the door, according to the suit, and does not let her leave. He just starts kissing her and then throws her on the bed, and, you know, one thing leads to another, and sexual assault occurs, according to her. And it's just that horrible situation. In that bar in Georgia, he had two friends of his that were bodyguards. They were both off-duty policemen who lied for him, allegedly, to cover it up. And it just was this whole thing where it was a nasty, 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 nasty streak of behavior out of him. And it just all, I don't know. It just kind of set me off, I guess. I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm probably making way too much of this. But it's just that thing where I don't know what the answer is. I don't know when they get the free pass. But it is what it is. I want to talk about Conor McGregor real quick. Because this is another one of those situations. I loved Conor McGregor. Like, I enjoyed his fighting. I enjoyed his press conferences, and they still amuse me. He had another one today ahead of his fight in UFC 229. And what bothers me about this is that he freely references the incident with the bus where he threw a dolly through a bus window that injured people. And he blames it on his opponent, and this whole thing does not sit well with me at all. Here's Conor McGregor today.
What did you expect?
Like, what
the truth, because that's all I talk.
What are you talking about?
That's all I talk, truth.
I'm come here for smash this guy.
Smash me, mate.
I don't want to.
Yeah, smash me.
I can smash
you. Say it. Send location. Here he is, right here in front of you. I'm right in front of you. Did you not see me at the outside the bus now? Did you not see me right in front of you outside the fucking bus? I showed you my hands, no weapons. The first thing when I showed up at that bus, I showed not my hands to let it know. I come here unarmed, no weapons. Step off the bus. You talk the big game, now I'm here. He done fucking nothing. He sat and took a shit on that bus. Hid and cowered behind fucking women and caused what happened to happen. So that's fucking that.
That's Conor McGregor today talking to Khabib Nurmagomedov, who is his opponent. Say that name fast. Khabib Nurmagomedov is his opponent at UFC 229.
Mm-hmm.
And he also later on attacked Khabib's manager, who has ties to a terrorist group that he eventually, you know, was prosecuted for. And, you know, he's behind on his child support, this guy, and Conor attacks him for that. Like, it just, after the whole bus thing, he kind of lost me. Am I making too much of all this?
No, I mean, I think there's certainly something wrong with him referencing it like that. I mean, it is who Conor McGregor is. He's a brash guy. And the thing for me is that, for me, it's part of his brand. What else do you want him to do on stage? Is he supposed to just sit there and say nothing? No.
No, but you don't need to attack a guy's child support issues and his, you know, the terrorist thing is compelling. I'll give him that. But the thing with the UFC is, like, the promotional video that they put out for this fight includes footage of Conor McGregor throwing that dolly through that bus window. Like, he was prosecuted for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you kicked him out of the UFC for a while because of that. And now you're using it as a prop
to promote a fight? It might not be morally correct, but it's great footage. It's great content to pump a fight. for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't disagree that it's not, it's morally incorrect to be promoting that, but it, at the end of the day, it's storied between these two. That's the whole point of using it. Connor threw a dolly at this bro through a window. You know, like that's been the
and we
path
celebrate
of it.
That.
Yeah, well, the UFC celebrates
which pisses,
that.
But no,
I don't celebrate it.
Connor's fans look at that as a heroic effort, and him saying, "I put my hands up," like he blamed Nurmagomedov for not coming off the bus. Like he blamed him in that audio you just heard. He hid behind women and like, hey, guy, you were violent. It wasn't his fault you threw that hand truck through the window.
Yeah.
That was your doing.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just all of that BS that really bothers me. I love watching him fight.
For the UFC, I think that's just part of who they are at the end of the day. Like, what choice do they have? So he went through the process.
Not to employ Conor McGregor? Oh,
yeah,
that's right.
Money.
They can't because they need the money.
Well,
that's
the NFL. That's the NBA. That's the UFC. There's no difference.
At some point, I'm hoping that dog gets fleas.
Yeah.
Because when you lie with dogs like Conor McGregor, you get fleas.
Listen, the only way for them to get fleas is him to get knocked out and him to lose and him to not have success.
Which has happened. Now, I don't think it's going to happen against Khabib. I just don't.
But I don't know that it has happened. He lost and he got knocked out, and that happened with the Diaz thing. But he hasn't lost the way Ronda Rousey lost. He hasn't lost like on an epic level where
he's too talented.
You know what I mean? Like he hasn't been knocked off the pedestal yet. He's still got both belts. Like he's still all this stuff. You know, he's just not at that point yet.
He's not GSP.
Yeah.
He's not but he's one of the greatest fighters ever. And he's certainly one of the greatest showmen ever. I just wish all of this crap didn't come with it.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. All right, let's move on. I want to talk some Major League Baseball because we haven't talked enough baseball.
Wait, you want to talk baseball? You sure? Because it hasn't made an appearance on the show, really, because of the great NFL. And I wouldn't want to talk about a sport where there's guys, you know, beating women. So, you know, I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure.
There's a certain closer for the Astros who can help you out with that topic.
Yeah.
Domestic abuse may be more prevalent in the National Football League, but it's not exclusive, sadly. So, hey. Anyway, we had a pretty epic debate in our pre-show meeting today about who the best team in Major League Baseball is. And I'm pretty sure that it's the Boston Red Sox. And they are going to avoid a sweep in New York tonight, it looks like, because they have come back. They were down at one point. They were up 2-0. They were up 3-2. They were down 6-3. And now they're up with 3 in the 7th. And I don't have any doubt that with this win tonight, by the way, they'll clinch the AL East. I don't have any doubt that they're the best team in baseball. Tell me I'm wrong.
Don't know that you're wrong. I think their record says they're the best team in baseball, and I think a team that is going to win, you know, they're not at 110 yet, but they're on pace to win 110 games at least, you know, and so any team that does that, yeah, they're going to be, by record, considered the best team in baseball. Where we differ is that I tend to believe that in baseball, it's uniquely qualified to baseball, that 110 wins doesn't mean you're going to have success. In the areas you want to have success.
It doesn't assure you a World Series championship.
So when we talk about best team in baseball, yeah, you're a 110-win team, you're dominant, like you've got a lot of talent, no doubt about it.
September 20th,
yeah.
I have no doubt
they're
that
the best.
On October 1st even, I have no doubt that they're the best team in baseball.
Yeah, but the tough part about that is, you know, just because you're the best team in baseball at this time of the year doesn't mean that you're going to win another slugfest with the Yankees. Because, by the way, I don't think you want to do that every night with the Yankees.
Correct. I would agree with that. And, you know, look, I don't even think there's a close second. Like, and if you disagree with this, I'd love to hear it. Like, who is even a close second to the Arizona Cardinals? The Boston Red Sox. Okay, I'm watching. Admittedly, I've got the Browns game on in the background, and it's messing with me because... the Browns just stripped a guy and almost ran it back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
So Baker Mayfield's probably going to score a touchdown.
Anyway,
here. I apologize.
Close second.
Who's a close second to the Boston Red Sox? The Houston Astros, but they're 8 games behind. Like, they're not a close second. The Yankees are 9.5 games back of the Red Sox.
You're going by record, though. You're going by record.
Correct.
And I'm going by talent, and I'm going by who's going to put up the best fight. And I would tell you the Astros are going to put up a hell of a fight. And I don't even know that the Red Sox get past the Astros. Because what did we learn last year? Mm-hmm. The Astros lost to teams in the regular season and went out and beat that ass in the postseason, and it wasn't close.
Because the Astros have the hammer.
Yeah.
They have the best pitching staff in baseball.
Without question. So I think it doesn't neutralize the Red Sox, but it makes it very, very even. And so that's why I say
the Red Sox have scored 800 runs. I said the Red Sox have scored 800 runs. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Jake.
Yeah, I get it, man.
Hey, man. The Red Sox have scored 800 runs. What is there, 10 games to go in this season?
Yeah, dude, I get it,
bro. Are you freaking crazy?
Yeah.
800 runs, man. They're plus. Do you realize? They're plus 211. Problem is the Astros are plus 242.
So what does it really mean?
That the Astros have incredible pitching.
That's what I'm saying.
Because they've scored 53 less runs than the Astros, or than the Red Sox, excuse me. The Astros have scored 53 fewer runs than the Red Sox.
And they're still better plus minus.
Because they've only given up 507 runs.
So that's what I'm saying. If you go just by record in baseball, it's not an accurate picture.
Listen to this. Do you realize the Red Sox have scored 300 more runs than the Astros have given up? Mm-hmm. The Red Sox have scored 300 more runs than the Red Sox have given. This is stupid. These numbers.
Yeah.
Something's got to give. The Boston Red Sox, in my opinion, are by far the best offensive team in baseball. The Houston Astros are by far the best pitching staff in baseball. And there's that much of a disparity.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox have scored 300 more runs than the Astros have given
up. So it begs the question, what do you want? Do you want pitching?
I want the best pitching.
And so that's why I say, that may be true. They're the best team in the AL. And look, I don't even disagree that they're the best team in the AL or even the best team in the league, because frankly, the AL is way better than the NL. But I just think once you get to the postseason, that's going to be a hell of a matchup.
See, and we also talked about this because I don't actually agree with you about the AL-NL thing. I think the tippy top of the American League is probably twice as good as the Cubs. So I think the Red Sox in just about every category are better than the Chicago Cubs.
Pitching, but who's representing the NL in the World Series this year? Because I think it's probably the Dodgers.
The Dodgers. It better be the Dodgers. After the Puig home run last night.
That was awesome.
Yeah, by the way, if you didn't see the highlight, it's on my Twitter feed, the Monty
Slider
Show.
Looks good right now. Okay, we'll see ya.
Thank you for one-upping me. The Colorado Rockies announcer said, hey, this is a really good spot for this slider. He throws a slider and Puig drops it like 400 feet later.
Dude, one of the few times that I've ever been happy for Yasiel Puig in my life. Never thought I would say it.
I hate the Dodgers so much.
But we were rooting for them last night, dude.
Dodgers.
Like, I don't know how you explain it. How do you explain that? You're rooting, like, I wasn't actively rooting for them.
Because
you know what it is? The Rockies are just not enjoyable. They're not fun to watch. They're not, like, none of that.
When did you become a Rockies hater?
Well, I'm just telling you what it is. I speak the truth.
Yeah, okay, Connor. I don't hate the... I'm indifferent on the Rockies. Don't matter. The Rockies, no offense, Denver, because I know that we have a lot of listeners in Denver and Colorado, frankly, Colorado Springs as well. No offense, the Rockies just don't matter because they're not good enough to matter. They're just good enough to be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the Dodgers. Like, it's stunning that the Dodgers are not the best team in the National League. 4.5 games behind the Cubs in that mark, and they're fighting for their lives, frankly, over the Rockies, who now they've pulled away from a little bit.
Yeah.
So the Rockies are just irrelevant to me. The Dodgers and Cubs, I think the Dodgers and Cubs are very good. I hate to say this out loud because I hate the Dodgers. Their offense is better than the Cubs because Chris Bryant's not putting the ball in the seats really at all. He had a home run the other day, but he's not hitting for power right now. And they're really, really heavily reliant on the dramatic home run,
mm-hmm.
the David Bodie Grand mm-hmm. Slam, the Javi Baez MVP tour.
Yeah.
Like, they're
yeah.
really relying on that. you're probably going to get that out of Riz in the playoffs. You're probably going to get the Zobrist double down the line. Like, you're going to have those moments. They need Bing Bing from guys like Baez,
Bowie. Yeah, the usuals.
Schwarber has to get healthy with this back. Like, yeah. The Dodgers just have so many guys, whether it's Puig or Peterson or Bellinger. I mean, the list, Machado, Turner.
Well, what really strikes me is that, you know, you look at the Dodgers, and to me, I can't help but sit there and say to myself, every time I watch Turner or Machado, professional at-bats, they're never out of the at-bat. And so many times when I'm watching the Cubs, I just know, like, this is a strikeout. You just know that that's coming. You know, and that's just kind of the feeling around the teams, and it's amazing the difference.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But anyway, if I asked you for a World Series matchup right now, I'm pretty sure you're going to say Houston and LA. Am I wrong?
No, I would say I'm going to go Red Sox Dodgers.
Red Sox and Dodgers. Well, I think the Houston Astros are the best team in the American League once the playoffs start.
Yeah,
this regular season train that Boston's rolling on, I admit that I have really come to your side on David Price. What I saw at Yankee Stadium, now, he's never done well against the Yankees and never done well at Yankee Stadium. He really worries me because I don't have any idea what Chris Sale's going to look like, frankly. I don't. I want to.
The pitching, the Astros and Red Sox, the pitching is staggering. I mean, where the Red Sox are at with their pitching is not in a good place.
No.
It's not because David Price has never been a great postseason guy. He's never put up good numbers. Chris Sale is not powering into the postseason, like, in great form, like, ready to go. And he got lit up last year in the postseason. So it would be nice if he could just go into the postseason like, yes, gung-ho, ready to go, 8 solid innings, 95 the whole time. You know, but that's not where they're at.
What do you say about the Oakland A's? Because that's the other team that I just don't have a real good grasp on what they are or how truly good they are or
they're
not.
They're a firecracker, man. They're a firecracker. I mean, you play them one game and they're going to light you up, and then another game they're awful. And
they're going to lose three, but then they're going to win five.
And they're going to win a game they shouldn't have won. And it's just they're just unpredictable. They're a powder keg, man. You just never know.
Well, and the way Chris Davis hits the ball, and I mean, they have enough to make you nervous. I don't know. I'm not going to be convinced that they can do it. They have the offense to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about that.
For sure. But
I'm not convinced that they will have the pitching to do it. I still say the most disrespected team in baseball is the Tampa Bay Rays. Nobody realizes that team is 20 games over 500.
Well, because, frankly, they play in a division where that's not good enough.
Yeah, they're 20 games over 500 with who? With like Jake Bowers, your former high school teammate that went into like a 20-day slump. You know, like they're playing rookies like that. Like you can't name me a starting pitcher there. You know, it's amazing that they're 20 over. It's
impressive for sure.
It is. It is quite impressive.
Like, because if you hadn't brought out that stat and just said, well, who do you think the worst team in the AL is?
You would have said Tampa.
They're right in that discussion.
Everybody says Tampa.
If it's not the Orioles, it's Tampa.
Everybody says that.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, I would like to give kudos to the Baltimore Orioles. They are no longer 60 games out. They're only 59. Nice job,
Buck,
boys.
Nice
way
job,
go.
Bro.
Way to go.
Improvement.
Their record is 44 and 108. Holy cow. They're minus 256.
Can they lose more games than the Red Sox can
Good
win?
Good God. Yes. Yes, they can. They are minus 250. Their pitching's terrible. That's unbelievable. They've given up 800. Wow. Anyway.
Okay. Point is,
I think right now, if you're telling me that I got to pick a World Series, I'm going to take Houston for sure in the American League. I got to believe it comes down to Dodgers and Cubs.
Yep.
And yep. I think the Cubs have an advantage in that. Because if it's three arms, the way Kyle Hendricks is pitching right now, I'm always going to trust John Lester in the postseason. And then I'm going to guess that it's Hamels or Quintana.
It's got to be Hamels.
It has to be.
You got to, guy
with postseason.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, dude, why did you go and get him? Because that was one of the main things you loved about that guy.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Stroop says he'll be back before the end of the regular season here in, what, a week
Need
and a half.
Need him so much.
Yeah, well, they do. They really do. I mean, if you can just rely on those four arms, If I don't have to hear about Mike Montgomery starting game four or a critical swing game five, I think the Cubs have a chance. It's just you have to rely on Cole Hamels, who got lit last night. By the way, monumental day for the Cubs today. Did you hear?
No, I didn't hear.
They didn't play a game today. Their run of 30 games in 30 days is over. They actually are off today, and they don't leave the city of Chicago for the rest of the season. They start a series with the Chicago White Sox tomorrow. So, at U.S. Crap Hole Cellular, what is it? Guaranteed low-rate field.
Guaranteed low-rate field. Who does that, bro? That was a good idea.
And the other part that's hysterical about that is Guaranteed Low Rate, which is a mortgage company, by the way, they also buy a ton of signage at Wrigley Field. So what's the real branding advantage?
We dominate Chicago.
Yeah, because the White Sox are terrible. So we better buy the Cubs. Okay. You want to buy the best team in baseball? Buy the Cubs. Well, no, you should probably buy the Red Sox.
Well, if you want to buy the best team, you should buy the Brewers, obviously.
Screw you. See, like, you bust my balls about that.
I told you it was going to be close the whole time. It was going to be close the whole time,
it's
bro.
It's 2.5 games.
Yep.
It's 2.5 games. And it really is only because the Brewers' offense has been streaky. Christian Yelich has, you know, a month where he can't hit, but now he's got two cycles in the same season.
Yeah.
By the way, real quick on a football note, I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Garagos, the attorney for one Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Who's going to receive an award from Harvard, by the way.
What? Garagos?
No. Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, okay.
But you have Mark Garagos, the attorney for Kaepernick, saying today that two NFL teams are interested in him right now. Do you believe it, or is it just hype and hyperbole?
I believe it. I definitely believe it, because you're telling me the Bills wouldn't be interested?
You're going to bring him in just as a backup?
Well, I mean, I guess. I don't know. It depends if Josh Allen can survive.
Garagos said today, if only Al Davis was still alive.
That's true. That's
so
real.
Does that mean that Colin Kaepernick is almost a Raider?
No. I think that means what he's saying there is if there was a guy like Al Davis in the NFL today, Colin Kaepernick would be signed.
Because, I don't have any
questions.
Because
Al Davis was always that guy.
Yeah.
Always going against the grain, always doing his own
thing.
He
sued the NFL,
you know?
Repeatedly,
So that's what he's saying. I don't think he's insinuating that Cap is almost a Raider.
I think certainly there's not a lot of places for him in the NFL. A lot of people were asking about the Dolphins. How are the Miami Dolphins, with a massive Cuban population, going to sign Colin Kaepernick after he wore a Fidel Castro t-shirt?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
That's why I say the Bills are a great spot. You're awful. He would see time.
Let me ask you this. Is Colin Kaepernick like, no?
No, I'm good. No. I'll stay retired. I'll stay chilling.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, he wouldn't. But if you look around the NFL, there's not a lot of teams, not the Dolphins, not the Patriots, not the Bills, or not the Jets. So the Bills, Bengals, Ravens, Browns, Steelers,
no.
Jags, Titans, Colts, Texans, no. Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders.
No. No.
Probably not. Cowboys, Redskins, Eagles, Giants, no.
Giants. I could see the Giants.
But, I mean, you're going to replace Eli Manning with Colin Kaepernick?
Eli's not going to make it the whole year, man.
You think he'll be injured, or you think he'll be benched?
No, I think he'll be injured. I think he's taking a beating. I mean, he's getting pummeled.
Off the top of your head, do you know who the backup quarterback for the New York Giants is?
Davis Webb.
Wow, how did you know that? Good poll. Yeah. Well, because you're a fantasy geek.
Yeah. Jerk. Yeah. It's been a struggle this year.
Fantasy football ruining the ball busting.
I'm up
of
by
America.
18.8 points.
Good. You need a win. You're 0-2. But if you look around the NFL, I don't think the Giants, well, I mean, he's probably an update to Davis Webb, but I think the Giants are one of those franchises who would probably not sign him. I mean, you look in the Central, which is the NFC North. Packers, Vikings, Bears. Well, I mean, he's better than Kaiser, but the Packers absolutely crushed him in the media. So the Packers aren't going to sign him.
Yeah.
Vikings, no. Bears, no. Lions, no.
He's not a North guy. That's not it's just not his. That wouldn't be
Bucks,
where he goes.
Falcons, Panthers, Saints, no. I mean, I could see it in Seattle still. The Rams, no. San Francisco, no. Although they say they'd bring him back, but I don't buy that. If Garoppolo,
yeah, nah.
Garoppolo,
there's not a lot of spots. That's why I said the Bills are really the only awful team.
I think it could be the Raiders. I think that makes some sense to me because other than that, I don't really know who else. I could see Buffalo, maybe Seattle, maybe, but the Raiders, in my opinion, I mean, he's always been hurt. Derek Carr's been a guy, and it's not like they have a guy just sitting there who's got all kinds of credentials.
Yeah, EJ Manuel's not good.
Yeah,
not
I mean, good. You Awful. Know, but
dude's doing nothing.
It's interesting to me that you now all of a sudden are in this situation where Colin Kaepernick's in the rumor mill.
Yeah.
By the way, Browns have scored. It's now 14-12. Will the Browns win this game?
Yes.
I have them to cover the 3. So I really do hope that they win this game. Speaking of which, tomorrow on the show, we'll do locks on the show tomorrow. I want them to win. I want the streak to come to an end. I really do. Carlos Hyde runs it in for the Browns, by the way. Not that you care because, you know, you're probably watching this game right now while we're recording this podcast. Anyway, listen, I think it's a good story when they win. When the Browns finally win a game, I think it'll be a good story. Hey, make sure you find us on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Don't forget, tomorrow's always a big show. Friday during the NFL season and the college football season, we give you locks. Love it, buddy. We're 13-17 on the year with our locks. 4-0 in college football last week. That'll be tomorrow on the show. Find us on Twitter, The Monty Show. Online, themontyshow.com. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.